It has been a great privilege to be here at Worth Baptist Church, and I thank God for Pastor Gillett that gave me the invitation about a year ago to come and be in this meeting. And you folks have been very, very receptive to the messages, and we have eaten so well every night, it's a wonder I can preach at all, okay? But I heard about a country preacher one time, and he was preaching a revival meeting. He was staying out on a farm, and they had a meal before the dinner or before the meeting that night, and the preacher said, "I won't be able to eat because I can't preach on a full stomach." So the old farmer, he couldn't go to church. He had all kind of work to do and so forth. But when they got home that night, they said to the boy, he said, "Well, son, how did the preacher do?" And he said, "Well, he might as well have eaten, okay?" So if you feel like that, go ahead and say it, okay? It's fine. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 is a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. And, of course, this is Jesus training his disciples. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. I want you to notice three things tonight. If I don't get to all of them, you'll at least know what I'm thinking about anyway, okay? But Jesus teaches them about their priorities. He teaches them about their position. And he teaches them about a promise, okay? So notice that as we read, beginning with verse 19. "Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." And then the end, very insightful thing, "For where your treasure is, there will you be also." There will your heart be also. So Jesus is really saying, if you'll show me your budget, you show me your checkbook, I'll tell you where your heart is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now look down at verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" Okay? So in verse 26, we're going to find out about our position, okay? 19:20, we find out about our priorities. Then look at verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," and here's the promise, "and all these things shall be added unto you." Now in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is training his disciples. Now remember, he is a man, but he is God. By the way, he wasn't 50% man, 50% God. He was 100% man, he was 100% God. Someone as well said he was as much God as if he had not been man, and he was as much man as if he had not been God. He was the God-man. Now, being God, he knew everything. And he knew that one day he was going to tell his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He was going to command them to evangelize the world. And being God, he also knew that they were going to begin to think, okay, if we get all involved in this global evangelism thing, then what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? Where are we going to live? How are we going to educate our people? And so on and so forth. So he teaches them about that in this chapter. So let's look at, first of all, at our position. He reminds them of their position. What was their position? Look at verse 26 again. "Behold the fowls of the air." Now, don't make fun of bird watchers, okay? God said do it, okay? "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns." Now, notice the next statement. "Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them." Notice the term, heavenly Father. If you read all of chapter 6, you will find 12 times the word Heavenly Father. So if you got a letter from somebody, and this is God's letter to us, amen. If you got a letter from somebody and it just had the same thing in it, time after time after time, you sort of get the realization that this is important to the speaker, to the writer. Your heavenly Father. Is it not a great thing to be a child of God? For now we're the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are the sons of God. So Jesus is saying here, okay, now I want you to evangelize the world. And don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, where you're going to live, all of these things and so forth. And he said, the reason you don't need to worry about it is you have a heavenly Father. Now, I was born the first time in Nortonville, Kentucky, a coal mining town, 1933, May the 30th, 1933. And when I was born that day, I was born into abject poverty, right in the middle of the Depression, okay? I mean, everybody was poor, so nobody knew we were poor, okay? But we had the very basic things to live on. October 1949, I was born again into the family of God. And when I was born into great wealth, okay? Because my heavenly Father owns it all. You remember Dr. Roloff was on television one time, and one of the announcers said, now they tell us that you are a millionaire. He said, no, that's wrong. He said, I'm a billionaire. My Father owns everything. And of course, the fellow didn't have any idea what he's talking about. Well, who is your Father? God is my Father. Now, people think that's heresy, but it's not. It's true, amen. By the way, everybody in the world is not a child of God. Now, everybody in the world is a creation of God, but everybody is not a child of God. We become a child of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. I love Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve. The wages, that's what we deserve for what we've done. The wages of sin is death. But there's a great big conjunction in there. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift is not something you deserve. It's not something you earn. It's something you receive. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, that very instant, you become a child of God. By the way, our Father is so rich. I only have two children, so really Virginia and I were not scriptural. The Bible says multiply and replenish the earth. And we didn't replenish it, we just replaced ourselves, okay? But I've got some friends that helped me out, okay? And so the average comes out pretty good. We have one missionary that has 11 children, so that together we have 13, okay? I remember when our son began to grow. I mean, you know, for a time he was one of the shortest kids in his class. And all of a sudden he started growing. About the sixth grade. And you buy shoes, and first thing you know, they're too short, too small. You buy trousers, they're too small. And first thing you know, you watch him eat, and he ate like a horse. I mean, we'd go out to a restaurant and eat, and he was hoping that me or his mother one would leave something on the plate so he'd have more to eat. You couldn't give him enough food. But you know, I never one time caught Tim worrying. You know, I never saw him sitting around moping around, wondering if we're getting more food, wondering if we're getting more clothes, wondering if I get any more shoes. Never heard him do that at all. Never seen it at all. And you could have asked Tim, don't you know that food is expensive? And don't you know that that clothes are expensive and food is expensive. And you know what Tim would have said? That's not my problem. That's my dad's problem. And guess what? As best he could, his dad took care of it. One time, Tim, he had four children. He had three children in college at the same time. That was his problem, amen? So what comes around goes around. He sent me a Father's Day card one time, and it said on there, "To my dear dad, who would give me his last dollar, from your son, Tim, who would take it," okay? I mean, hey, you didn't worry as a child. You didn't worry about food. You didn't worry about clothes. You didn't worry about all those things. Why? You knew that you had a father that would take care of you. And by the way, our Heavenly Father is so much greater than any of the earthly fathers could possibly be. So you think about your position. It does not matter what God wants you to do. Now listen to this very carefully. It does not matter what God wants you to be, what God wants you to give. All you have to remember is, whatever God wants you to do, He'll provide it because He is your Heavenly Father. So think about your position. And really, our sole responsibility is just to find what God wants us to do. Now look at verses 19, 20, and look at our priorities. He teaches about getting our priorities right. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Now what he's saying here in verse 19 is this. Don't get too heavily involved in earthly materialistic things. Why? Anything that I have that I call mine, my clothes, my shoes, my automobile, my house, my retirement, doesn't matter what it is, anything that I have materialistically, anything bad can happen to that. Okay? You buy a new suit, if you're not careful, first thing you know, it'll shrink. Or you'll expand, okay? Same thing with dresses, okay? You buy a new automobile, it begins to depreciate. Begin to rust depending on what part of the country you are in, and so on and so forth. So anything that I have materialistically speaking, it's just temporary. It's not going to last very long, okay? And by the way, eventually none of it will be mine. One day Jesus is going to come, and if I'm still living when he comes, and I hope I am, I believe I will be. You say, well, you're old. You better hurry up, okay? But that's okay. Paul believed he was coming when he was living. And we are to believe that he's coming at any moment. Now, to be honest with you, his coming may not be immediate, but it is imminent. It could happen at any moment. Thank God it could happen tonight, amen. And when it does, we're not going to take anything with us. Or when I die, if I die, I'll not take anything with me. You know, anytime anybody of any wealth at all dies, one of the first questions that's asked is, I wonder how much they left. Somebody said, where there's a will, there's a lot of relatives. I wonder how much they left. And the answer is always the same. They left it all. They did not take anything with them. So he said, don't get too heavily involved in earthly, temporal things. Because anything bad can happen to it. And one day, it will no longer be yours. But get heavily involved in spiritual eternal things. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Thank God, amen. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead of you. And when you're praying, when you're reading your word, the Bible, when you're witnessing, when you're giving, and on and on and on, what you're doing is you're laying up treasures in heaven. And guess what? Nothing bad can happen to them. Here it is in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now listen to this real carefully. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. One life to live. It's an old cliche, but it's a good one. One life to live. 'Twill soon be past. And only what's done for Christ will last. Don't get too heavily involved in earthly temporal things. But get heavily involved in spiritual, eternal things. When I was pastoring in the rural church down in Kentucky, we used to have a quartet that came and sang, and I enjoyed most of their songs. But every time they'd come, they'd sing one song that just got under my skin. Now, it might be your favorite song, but I don't like it, okay? And the song went something like this. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land, in the shade of the tree of life that it may ever stand, where I can just hear the angels sing and shake Jesus' hand. Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. And every one of those fellows were carpenters. They built houses. And every one of them had a beautiful house they had built for themselves. And I thought, how dumb. They want to have the best house they can live in here for these few short years on this earth. But in heaven, all they want is a cabin. And who wants to live in a cabin for eternity? My idea of camping out is a Holiday Inn, amen. Not a cabin. The priorities. Don't get too heavily involved in earthly, temporal things. But get heavenly. Young people, invest your life in heavenly things. Spiritual things. Don't waste your life. Don't just use your life. Invest your life for the glory of God. By the way, it doesn't matter what age you are. Whatever time you have left, invest it in spiritual, eternal things. Don't get too wrapped up, too heavily involved in earthly, temporal things. They're all going to pass away. Then in verse 33, he reminds them he gives them a wonderful promise. Look at this. But seek you, well, let me begin reading with verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The word Gentile means people that don't know God, okay? They worry about things like that. But listen, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. In other words, it's saying God knows that you need something to eat. God knows you need something to wear. God knows you need a place to live. God knows all of your needs. Now I may know it, but that wouldn't help you any by me knowing it, because I don't have the ability to take care of it. But what he's saying here is God knows your need, and God is able to provide for your need. Now here's his promise. In other words, rather than worrying about what I'm going to eat, where am I going to live, and so forth, look at what he said. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, what things? Place to eat, or a place to live, something to eat, something to wear, all the things that you need, But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now watch this promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, let me give you a Don Sis paraphrase. You say, I don't like paraphrases. I don't either, but I'm going to give you this one anyway. In verse 33, what Jesus is saying and what he's saying to you, if you will take care of my business, if you will take care of my business, if you will take care of my business, I will take care of you. Isn't that what he's saying? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Dr. Herbert Lockyer tells us that in the Bible, there are 7,487 promises that God has made to man. In 1 Kings, we read this verse that says, there has not failed one word of all his good promise. There's a world that needs to hear the gospel. And Jesus, in training his disciples, and thank God we have the infallible, inspired word of God right here before us. And he's speaking to us tonight. And he's saying, I'm giving you a great task. World evangelization, preaching the gospel to every creature. You think of the people saved in the country where the Knickerbockers are ministering. People saved in Brazil, the people saved in England, all these missions. By the way, aren't you proud that every missionary that's here this week have emphasized, number one, getting people saved, number two, baptizing and establishing churches, and number three, training leaders? That's what missions is all about. And by the way, missions that does not accumulate, that does not end in establishing churches is not really New Testament missions, okay? I mean, that's God's plan. That's God's plan. And these are doing that. You just think about it. When you give to Faith Promise through Worth Baptist Church, you are having a part in every missionary that is supported by Faith or by Worth Baptist Church. Remember your position. Get your priorities right. I wouldn't doubt if there doesn't need to be some priorities that are looked at tonight and think about where really is my priorities. And then remember the promise of God. He's never broken a promise. And he said, if you'll take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. Wonder if God's not spoken to somebody about giving their life to preach the gospel to the great unevangelized people of the world. There's so many places that greatly need a preacher. Maybe God is speaking to some people about really getting involved in Faith Promise this year. You've given a little bit here and there, but you get your priorities right this year. And you begin to give the way God would have you to give. Now, I wonder if there are not some people tonight that need to spend a whole lot more time on their knees before God, praying for the missionaries and praying for the people where they're witnessing. I tell you that the devil is having a heyday today. And he's trying to keep the gospel out of every place that he possibly can. And he's trying to, even here in the United States of America, he's trying to get to the place where we cannot have church. My dear friend, regardless of what the authorities say, we must have church. Amen. And regardless of what they say, we must keep remembering. We're children of God. God's going to take care of us. He wants us to get our priorities right, and he wants us to remember his promises. Let's pray together, Pastor.